Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
And good Saturday morning. Welcome back in. Let's see, what do we got going on this Saturday morning? We are right in the middle of a duck calling contest. Hopefully you were tuned in earlier. If you weren't and you want to go back, you can always go back and check the podcast out. You can find that on my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, and there's a link to all of our past shows. And you can listen to renditions from contestant number one and contestant number two, who are unnamed. We want to thank the Steel Man, one of our regular listeners, for providing the routines, the calling routines. And I got to tell you, one is pulling away from the other. I'm not going to tell you who's in the lead, but we ask you to vote if you heard them for either contestant number one or contestant number two, and we'll announce the winner. All right, still to come, we got Mike Gallo, born on the Bayou, going to get his report. Someone wanted to know about Bayou Bienvenue. That's one of his places. We'll find out what's been going on in that area. Also, Brendan Bayard with our paddler's report. Last week, they had the Hobie Kayak Saltwater Series tournament that was held at Golden Meadow. He's got the results of that for you. Our bad boy feature, in keeping with our black bear focused on today's program, we have a convicted felon black bear killer. Got his story to tell you about. Things did not end up well for him. Ryan Lambert, our plastic man's going to join us talking about fishing in low Mississippi River conditions into wintertime, what that means, and also duck hunting. They are in the split right now. The season is closed in his area, but will reopen 1 week from today. And we're going to close it out with a phone call to the duck blind of Blake Swallow, who hunts at Full Strap and Stringers up in Catahoula. And great, he's had a pretty good first split and looking forward to a better second split. So there's been a lot of diving ducks up there, and maybe we'll get some of that live from the blind action that you love to hear. I love to hear it too on Saturday morning. So we got all of that to talk about. Got some other stuff I'll be passing along to you. We got some more text messages coming in. And this one says, with regard to our conversation on sheep's head, in Mississippi, before we had a limit on sheephead, people would scrape the barnacles on bridge pilings, wait a couple minutes, throw a heavy-duty cast net on them. Yeah, that's a trick on those pontchartrain pilings on the bridges there. If you bring a hoe or a shovel or something and scrape the barnacles off, it kind of stimulates the feeding there, and you can throw a line in there. As far as in Louisiana, catching sheephead with a cast net, it's not one of the legal methods to do that. Let's see, we have, here we go, Jason and the crew over at Corey's Barbershop. Thanks for a wonderful Saturday morning. Thanks for stopping in early this week. Well, thank you for giving me the trim that I needed, Jason. I appreciate that. He's headed early to the barbershop this morning. All right, what have you got going on? 504-260-1870, that's our text line. A couple of things for our advanced shows before we wrap up 2024. We're going to ask you in 2 weeks on the 28th for a couple of things. One, we're going to ask you to vote for the baddest of the bad boys that we present you. We got four cases that we covered in 2024, and asking you, the audience, as you've done for many years in the past, to pick the one that you think is the baddest of the bad. And we're also going to ask, and you might want to start thinking about this now so I don't hit you with it right at the last minute, we're going to be asking you for your best wish for 2025, for the new year, with regard to the outdoors. What would you like to see? If you could have a wish come true in the year 2025, what would it be? Don't text it to me yet. Wait till that last show. We'll be doing that on the 28th when our number one starting producer, Cullen Steele, returns. Cullen's taking some time off next week, and we'll miss him. But we'll be in capable hands with Chris Coleman. So don't fear not. The show will go on next Saturday morning. All right, and coming back right after this time out, we're going to be checking in with a guy we call Born on the Bayou. Is that B-O-R-G-N-E on the Bayou, maybe, like in Lake Bourne? I don't know. We'll ask him. Mike Gallo's next. We're also going to ask him about some fishing conditions in his area. If you headed out this morning, he can help you find them and put them in the boat, too. Back with him right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our Born on the Bayou report with Captain Mike Gallo is a presentation of CETO. And, you know, that was one of the 10 top Christmas gifts I suggested. If you want to give the gift of peace of mind for two people, really, the boater, who will get the service when and where they need it, and also those loved ones who are concerned when someone is out on the water, particularly in some inclement conditions. So if you want to give that gift of peace of mind, it's $249 for a whole year. Even if you don't own a boat, if you know someone who does, I strongly suggest you call Captain Chris. Give him a call, 504-301-4545, or access him at CETO.com, and the recipient will get free boat towing, fuel delivery, jump starts for electrical problems, and 100% coverage of tows from your home dock to a repair facility, wherever you need to go to get back to safety. $249 a whole year. It's renewable after that. CETO.com. Captain Mike joins us now. And Mike, are you taking some time off for the holidays already, or are you going to be fishing this week?
I will still be doing some fishing when I get back, Don. You know, my group from Texas has visited me and fished with me for 24 years, and I finally accepted an offer to come up and visit them. So I'm in Sisterdale, Texas.
And that's a new one.
Some quail.
Where is Sisterdale?
That's a good question. We're not too terribly far from San Antonio.
Oh, okay. You out west then, for sure.
We're out west. A lot of hills, rocks, deer everywhere. We did some hunting yesterday, and Miss Jacqueline got in a stand with a crossbow. We didn't see anything to shoot. But we're going to try again today. So it's exciting.
That is. You're going to have to tell her I'm going to start nicknaming her Artemis and tell her to Google it if she doesn't know what it is. Artemis, yeah. So did I hear the word quail? Because Smokey, who's laying over here on the couch, her ears picked up when you said quail, I thought.
She went on point, huh?
Yeah, she's locked up.
Yes, we are going to do some quail hunting this morning. And maybe get back in a deer stand later this afternoon. That's our plan. It's kind of a visit. We're just visiting these. You know, you fish with them 24 years. You get to know them. They're good folks. We enjoy each other's company. So just kind of spending some time together.
Well, Mike, I know you, even though you're west of San Antonio, you still keep up with fishing at home. What can you tell us? I had somebody wanted to know about Bayou Bienvenue. How's the fishing there?
Well, I can tell you, once the rain cleared earlier this week, slipped out a couple of times and made two good trips. Both of those trips were on the North Shore. But I have been fishing down by Bayou Bienvenue with this east wind that y'all have down there today, the warming trend. I'd wait till maybe 8 o'clock, let the water warm up a little bit. And they've been staging in anywhere, for me, anywhere from 15 to 20 feet of water. I was fishing along ledges. I caught fish in the Mystigo. I caught fish in the intercoastal waterway using either live bait or, you know, plastic on a drop shot. So they're out there hunt and peck till you find them. Catch what you need, catch what you want. If the bite dies down, you just want to try to find a similar area, whether it be a ledge or a shell bottom, man-made structure, you know, those types of things.
Got it. What about those bridges on Pontchartrain? Man, they have produced some really nice trout over the last few weeks. Was that fishable with the conditions we had?
I would think same thing today with an east wind. Generally, the south shore of Lake Pontchartrain is fishable. There's a bit of a point that sticks out, and you get a little blockage from the wind. And it should be just fine. Same scenario. I'd let the water warm up a little bit. Seems the bite for me has always been best in the 11 to 2 o'clock range. Midday is when I've been doing best on my fish. I don't know. I made a dozen trips down to Bee Avenue or the Pontchartrain area in the last 2-3 weeks, and middle of the day has always been best.
Hot bait?
I like glow. I like the matrix glow. There's still a few shrimp in the area, and there's pogies, and that glow will mimic a white shrimp or a pogey very well.
Speaking of pogies, that's one of the oily, you know, scent type filled fish, bait fish. Do you ever use fish scents at all? Or do you use maybe gulp that's got on other baits that have it embedded in the plastic?
We do use the gulp, and I like the white gulp shrimp. A lot of people use curl tail baits this time of year. Those are all good producers. If there's a good number of trout around, let me put it this way, if there's smaller fish that are aggravating you, in other words, they're eating the legs off of your shrimp, pecking the eyes out of your shrimp, they're not big enough to eat the whole thing, then I'll stay away from the gulp because of that scent. Those little fish will nip at it, and you'll think it's a trout, and you'll be setting the hook all day long. You know, so yeah. If my customers are bringing their shrimp back in and the legs are missing or the eyes are eaten out of it, but they're not big enough to eat the whole shrimp, when in that case, I know there's a bunch of small ones down there, I'll stick with the matrix itself. Maybe even adjust the length of my drop shot to where I'm fishing 2.5 feet off the bottom, and maybe I can keep some of them small ones off of my line.
Got it. Mike, if somebody wants to get information about booking a trip, they can find you on my website and also at aaofla.com. And when you get back from Texas, so what's the phone number to call?
Very simple. You can call me at 985-781-7811. And we may be gone, but I got boats going out today. We did all that coordinating last night. I booked a trip yesterday for Monday. So it's business as usual. I'm just taking a little short vacation.
All right, there he is, the CEO of Angling Adventures of Louisiana. Mike, y'all have a great time up there. Tell the Texas boys hello for me, and wish Artemis good luck on that stand.
I sure will.
Thank you, Mike.
Don, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, there he goes from Texas, live from Texas, Captain Mike Gallo. All right, coming up next, Brendan Bayard. He was last week at the Hobie Saltwater Series tournament that was held in Godel Meadow. He's got the final results for us and also a fishing report with some tips if you like to paddle for your fish. It's called our Paddler's Report, brought to you by No Wake Outfitters. It's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our Paddler's Report is a presentation of No Wake Outfitters, located at 1926 Airline Highway in Metairie, open Monday through Saturdays 10 to 6 and Tuesdays 8 to 8 on special store hours. And if you're looking for fly fishing equipment, anything for the paddlers as well as kayaks, conventional tackle, rods, reels, whatever, one of the number one places to shop for local information about local products. No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Highway in Metairie. Check them out. Brendan Bayard joins us now, and Brendan, last week 44 contestants entered, 3 went on to compete in the Hobie Fishing Worlds event. Tell us how the tournament went. You were in it.
Yeah, Don, it was a great event. We had a lot of cold weather building up to that event, and the day of the tournament was in the 40s, and the water was right about 50 degrees when we first launched. You know, I was starting over there in the pumping station right there, because that's a great wintertime spot. There was a few of us in there as well, along with second place winner Robert Burkhart. He caught the biggest trout, which was no surprise. I thought somebody was going to catch that biggest trout of the tournament in that pumping station, because whenever it gets cold, those big girls go in there and sit on the bottom. You just have to get lucky to put the right one in front of the right lure in front of one of those big trout's face, and he got it done. There was the winner actually came from North Carolina, Andrew Imes, and I've fished against Andrew before. He's come down in the old IFA tournaments over the years, so it was good to see a familiar face. He won the tournament in kind of a really nice fashion. He got 152 inches, and that was between five trout and two red. So you could do the math in your head, and that's some seriously impressive fish. You know, almost a 20-inch average on the trout, big reds. It was a great day out there fishing.
Was Andrew fishing in that pumping station area too?
No, actually, he went out to the lake and fished kind of the north side of the lake. So, you know, there's some big fish over there in Golden Meadow right now if you want to get out. I was so enamored with having a trolling motor to use in a tournament. I just spent my day checking out all kinds of new things, and it was so fun. But I guess I was a little distracted from the goal, and I was like, wow, I could go 7 miles. I can go 8 miles one way. And
yeah, I can't tell you how many times I sat there by that pumping station and watched boats run out of there, running right past fish. It happened all the time. Well, that's great. Now, the next tournament for the coming up for the club, Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club, is the Minimalist Challenge. And now this is going to be different this year because the electric motors are going to be allowed. Do you think that's going to hurt participation or not at all?
I'm sure some people will be discouraged about that rule change, but I also have talked to people that have got kayaks in the last few years, and there's kind of a trend where these guys just get, you know, whatever kind of, you know, just kind of find an entry-level kayak as cheaply as they can, and then they get a trolling motor to just get out there and start fishing. And it's understandable. You know, some kayak models cost a lot, especially the ones with the pedal drives and stuff, but you're seeing a lot of guys get these trolling motors and canoes, kayaks. And so there is a growing number of those guys, which will be able to fish the tournaments too. So we'll see how it goes. It's, you know, there's no perfect science to whenever you make a rule change, you're going to upset some people, you're going to please some people. And we just really wanted to try something different, make it all about fishing. And, you know, after doing kayak fishing for 20 years, you know, everybody knows everybody's spots from the close side of the road. And so now we get motors and we can get a little bit further. And so we can start learning some new waters. And I'm excited about that because it'll give us a little bit more range to go out there and find some new waters to enjoy.
Yeah, that's a unique perspective on it. Brendan, tell us about the Minimalist Challenge. I tell you, I really like the rules and how this tournament is shaped up. It's very unique.
Yeah, we've been doing it, gosh, it must be 20 years now, but you show up to the launch and you get a Ziploc bag, and you know, it maybe has like five plastics and maybe a hard bait and some jig heads, and you're only allowed to fish with those baits the whole day. And so if you snag one on the bottom or you lose one, you throw it in the tree or something, you're out of luck. So you have to be both conservative on your baits and take care of them. And then, you know, you have to basically, you know, think about what you would use. And I don't know, it's an awesome, unique perspective on trying to catch a fish against everybody on an equal playing field, if you will. I mean, you know that everybody else fishing has got to use the same bait. So it's great. And people catch a lot of big fish that day. And then you're exposed to new bait that you wouldn't have concentrated with if otherwise. So it's a great opportunity for both the sponsors of the Minimalist, because they're getting 100 people to use their baits, and us to get to use new baits.
Yeah, it's a great concept. Well, Brendan, before you go, and you can register, by the way, at bckfc.org and find out more information about it. Before you go, these days we got chilly mornings, sunny afternoons, temperatures on a roller coaster. If you're fishing trout in a kayak, how do you put the, what's your technique for fishing during these times?
Yeah, for we're definitely in the wintertime. If it's you know, if you wake up and it's been cold for a couple of days, it's the typical, you know, I'm fishing dead end canals, deeper water, deep water that doesn't turn over. I'm not fishing in a running bayou that's 20 feet deep. I'm fishing in a pond that's 20 feet deep that's not having current in it. Just to keep the temperature difference between the marsh and those deeper spots, you know, important to the trout. Those are the kind of places I'm looking for that have fish stack up whenever there's a temperature of, say, you know, 50s and lower. When you get those days where the temperature is above, say, 50, mid-50s, I'm looking at flats, you know, like scattered oyster shell flats in the, you know, 3 to 6 foot range. I'm drifting those. That's usually on the warmer trend days in the wintertime. And then you want to look at the atmospheric pressure to determine if you want to throw topwaters or if you want to throw plastics or corks. You know, with the shrimp still in the marsh a little bit, those marker 54 shrimps have been doing a lot of damage. I definitely bring either those or some voodoos or some DOAs to put under in your bag to throw under a cork. And then, you know, Miradines and topwaters are also a great favorite of mine.
Very good. Brendan, thanks so much for those great tips, as you do all year long, and we'll be checking in with you on our last program of the week. We'll catch up with you in a couple of weeks.
All right. Thanks, Don. Take care.
All righty. Our last program of the year, I think, is what I meant to say. All right, we come back after this. It's bad boy time. Convicted felon with a shotgun and a dead bear. What is all that going to end up with? Whew, not good for Christopher Buck. We'll tell you his story next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, we are in the middle of a duck calling competition. We're asking you to vote for contestant number one or number two. If you just tuned in, sorry you missed it, but we had a little bit earlier. Cast your vote by texting us at 504-260-187. Here's another comment. P.S. If you like number one, I hope you like chicken. That's liable to spurn some fighting words. All right, Brandon. We're hearing from Brandon this morning. He's giving the deer a break, and he's taking the kids on a squirrel hunt this morning. Good deal, man. Nothing like hunting squirrels with some youngsters, getting them involved in beginning hunters. Love to hear that. All right, we got the worm. He says his dad, Captain Hawk, used fish nets, 4-inch webbing. When the shrimp left Pontchartrain in the winter, he would fish 2 miles west of the train trestle bridge, and he would catch huge schools of sheephead and drum in the thousands of pounds. Yeah, that was back in the day when that was possible. All right, here's, let's see, this one is doing a 4-mile walk, enjoying the show, a very long-time listener. Question, will the CETO membership I buy for myself, will it cover me on another boat if I decide to ride with someone else? That's Joe from Biloxi. Joe, that's kind of a tricky question. They do provide the service on every boat you own, you rent, or you borrow. Now, if you borrow your buddy's boat and you have a problem, yes, you'd be covered if you have a policy. If he's operating the boat and you're just on it, that's kind of a gray area. I would call Captain Chris and just ask him. It's 504-301-4545, and he'll give you a clarification on that. All right, our bad boy black bear killer is next, his story, and we'll get to it right after we pause 10 seconds for our local stations to tell you who they are and where they are in the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, agents involved in today's bad boy bear killer case are Sergeant Cole Cupid, Agent Andrew Lemoyne, and Lieutenant Chad Watts. Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries veterinarian Rusty Berry performed a necropsy on the bear. The necropsy is the animal version of the human autopsy. It determines the cause and circumstances of death. Our story begins when the agents arrested Christopher Buck on the Richard K. Yancey Wildlife Management Area at 2:30 p.m. on November the 29th after finding him in possession of a shotgun and being a convicted felon, and booked him into the Concordia Parish Jail. Then on December 1st, when agents were notified about a dead black bear found on the WMA, and this could be very well the same bear I saw there during a scouting trip last year, the necropsy of that bear determined it was shot with buckshot. The agents went to the Concordia Parish Jail, interviewed Buck about the dead black bear on the WMA, and he fessed up. He admitted to the agents that he shot the bear around noon, and a charge of taking a bear during close season was added to his felon in possession of a firearm citation. When his day in court arrives, facing maximum fines and civil restitution for the replacement value of the bear in the amount of $15,950 and up to 20 years in jail, is 30-year-old Christopher Buck of Lafayette, Louisiana, our black bear killer bad boy of the outdoors. Not a good combination at all, Christopher. Felon, shotgun, dead black bear. Big trouble. All right, we come back after this. The Plastic Man joins us. He's enjoying a low Mississippi River down in Plaquemines Parish in the wintertime. We'll get him to tell you what that means and get a forecast for next weekend's reopening of the duck zone down there in the West Zone. Back with Ryan after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And como está usted en el México?
Well, it is, it is. It's good, buddy. It's good. That's really on here good yet, but you know, it's just so they've been trust efficient with us. They got lots of quail. Oh, my goodness. No quail like this morning with the dogs.
Well, you got a lot of good stuff going on down there. What's the weather like down there right now?
It's calm this morning, but they're going to blow out the south this evening. And hopefully I'll get on some red eggs. It's just not a lot of them. They're about in. There's so much water from those two drops of the storm that they're with, but the ducks are pretty dispersed. They're in all the fields, and then the potholes got some ducks. But there's a big concentration on down yet, which is really unusual, because this time of year, usually we do really well. This year is a little different. It's okay. And because of all that rain, they had tons of quail. I think it was 125 yesterday.
Wow. That's incredible.
Wild quail, too. That's the best part. Wild quail.
Is that the Bob White or one of the other species?
It's the Bob Whites. We have blues for the guests, but we just have the Bob Whites.
Yeah. Now, we're talking to...
Oh, my gosh.
We're talking to Ryan Lambert, normally at Cajun Fishing Adventures. He's at his alternative lodge, Nolejase, down in Mexico. Tell us about Nolejase. What do you guys do down there besides hunt and eat well and have fun?
It's a world-class wing shooting. You know, you have ducks, geese, dove, quail, sandhills, I mean, just about anything. So they start all this with white wings. That's like a high-volume hunt. That's so much fun. Golly, I shoot 100 and quit. I'm not going to shoot 100 ducks. You don't have to prove nothing. Just have a good time. So then you get 20 ducks in the morning, 20 in the evening doing that. So it's just a plethora of wing shooting. So, like I said again, the quail this year, the wild quail. That used to be such a southern tradition and such a great sport. Like today, they're going with the dogs. And just to watch that, the points, and the guys out there in orange, they get up and you see all the guts come up. It's just a beautiful thing to watch.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me. I'm into it. And unfortunately, you know, we're pretty much limited to shooting preserves. And thank God we got that, or the dogs wouldn't have anything to do. Nolejase, a little translation is no worries. Who put that name on the lodge?
It really is. It doesn't make it. Nolejase, it doesn't make it. But it really, when they say it, it's like, it don't matter.
Nolejase. Nolejase, no matter, no worries.
Yeah,
all right, back home down in Plaquemines Parish, we got a low Mississippi River in the wintertime. What does that mean for fishing down there?
Well, a low Mississippi, we have a -8 tide today, which means you better watch where you run.
Yeah.
9 o'clock this morning, there won't be a drop of water. But, you know, the river is down real low, and even in January, it's 2 foot, so this is going to continue the great fishing. I mean, we get to them on both sides of the river, trout, sheephead, black drums, redfish. If I mean redfish, we've been in a big way. So sightfish and redfish are enjoying right now, whether it's dry rod or top water, whatever. So they're going down those banks and smash their shrimp. Oh, my word. You throw a little pop or skinwalk or something on them, and they blow it up.
Yeah. So what's the prospects for next week's reopening down there for the duck season? And do you have any trips open for the rest of the spit?
No.
No.
We got some, but it's all the good water is taken up pretty much. Then you got so much negative tide. So we're gonna hunt on the outsides, and we're gonna hunt in the bays. And once I get that developed, good, we'll be all right. I just want to make sure that we can kill them on the outside, because when you get negative 8 times, there is absolutely not a drop of water in the marsh. I mean, the blinds would be sitting way up on top of the land. So if that's all we gonna go outside, we'll just go hunt them outside. We're gonna set up on some islands and stuff out there. You know, just got some water. The time would kill them. So that's what we got to do this year. So we have a ton of negative tides after Christmas, and most of January is negative tides. So, but there's a lot of ducks. There's more ducks at home than they got down here this year. So
yep.
I'm surprised at the number of ducks we have killed so far, because, you know, we haven't had that much cold weather. And even early in the season, we whacked them pretty good, but not having. I was surprised. I didn't look like that big of an outcome. We have them, and Delaco area has them, so everybody's been doing good. And then you have other cases that they're not killing nothing, because it's been sparse.
Mm-hmm. Well, in just a few minutes, I'm going to get Blake Swallow on. He's hunting up there at Catahoula, and he told me he's enjoyed a pretty good season up there for the first split. And a lot of diving ducks have been coming down for the second split, and we'll see how they're doing. All right, so when you get back, can people call you? You got somebody manning the phones right now if somebody wants info.
Oh, they call me anytime. They can always call me. I always get phone them about where in the world I am. It's what I do.
That's it.
They can call me direct at 504-559-5111. You know, or they can call the office too and share it, set it up. Just, we do have some stuff on that negative tide. We can always fish in the morning and hunt in the evening too. So
yeah, that's
always options.
That's another alternative. All right, well, look, try to send me some video of those quail down there. I'd love to see that.
We'll do, brother. We'll do.
All right, enjoy it, and we'll see you when you get back.
All right, see y'all.
There he is, live and direct at Nolajase Hunting Lodge in Mexico. You can get information about going down there, too. All right, coming back after this, Blake Swallow is going to check in. Are we going to check in with him? He's in a duck blind this morning up at Catahoula with full strap and stringers guide service. We'll get the results from the opening day of the second split of the East Zone in Louisiana. We're back right after this. All right, I want to thank all of you who texted in this morning with your votes for our duck calling contest. I'm happy to announce that contestant number one won by 4 votes over contestant number 2. And maybe the Steel Man will identify the winner so we can properly congratulate them. All right, got some other questions and comments coming in. We'll get to those if we have time. But right now we're going to take you live and direct to the blind of Full Strap and Stringers. Professional duck guide Blake Swallow joins us now from Catahoula. Blake, good morning. How's things looking this morning down there?
Don, this morning's nice. We got a good southeast wind, about 7 to 10 miles an hour. We're actually hunting on the farm, which is a little bit east of the lake, but the birds have been plentiful this morning. Actually, we got a 3-man, and we're just about done. We've killed our pintail limit and just waiting on a few teal and gadwall to finish it up, but it's been a good morning so far.
Wow, that is outstanding. It's still very early in the morning. You know, the trip is going to end for those folks. Kind of recap us for us from your area up there. What happened during the first split?
The first split was actually pretty good. We had an issue with high water early. And then we got the water off the lake. The farms got water early, which was a good thing, and held quite a few birds. The days that weather permitted, when we had some wind, we did very well. Overall, first split, 14 out of 16 days was very positive.
Very good. And this morning, who are you hunting with this morning?
Actually, I got State Representative Jason DeWitt from the Alexandria area, and a guy named Phil Swallow, my brother.
Outstanding. Sound like a good crew. Sound like they're pretty good shots, too, considering what you got already.
Well, you know, Don, when you get them in close, it don't take a real good shot to take that ball.
I knew you'd get credit for it, Blake, one way or another. They may argue about that, too, you know, having to make those peripheral shots. Well, sound like y'all having fun. If somebody wants to get in touch with you and find out about some opening days, do you have any openings left?
We have a few openings right there in the back. We have a few openings, Don. Just give me a call at 318-730-8809 and just ask for Blake, or go on our Facebook page or our webpage, fullstrapandstringer.com. We'll be glad to help you.
Well, I tell you what, hearing your mouth call for teal is worth the price of admission alone.
Yeah, well, you know, It's one of them things we do up here.
Yeah. Well, y'all continue to have fun. Sound like you're well on your way to a limit, and we'll try to drop in and check on you and get some more reports later in the season. Glad y'all having a good
day. Have a good day, Don. Thanks. Good talking to you.
All right. Blake Swallow, full strap and stringers. And they do catch fish up there. Again, that number is 318-730-8809. He's also on Facebook. All right. Let's round out with some close out with some of our comments on our text board. This question comes in and says, so Buck, speaking of Christopher Buck, our bad boy uses Buck Shot. My reply is, yeah, very bad choice. This one is from Bo. He says, for the first time in, 40 years, he recently disabled due to construction, working in the construction industry. He's waking up to the shotguns going off down in the marsh, and it's killing me. Hopefully next year will be better. That is Bo. Well, Bo, we're going to make a New Year's wish for you to come true, that your health does improve and you are able to get back on the blinds and on the stands to do some more huntings. Here's an interesting question that popped up. Do land developers pay, it says resolutions, but I'm sure that was autocorrect, meaning restitution, for all the animals they kill and misplace? I'm not sure that land developers actually kill animals in the developing of land. Misplacing, for certain, for sure, they do that. I don't know if that's ever been presented or challenged that they be paid. Now, of course, if it's being developed, it's being done on private land by a private owner, and that would be at his own peril and his own loss if, you know, there were no more game animals that were on that property. I don't know. Maybe that's a good question. Maybe somebody will challenge that one day about, you know, for animals that have been displaced. Who would be the recipient, though? I mean, the state, you know, doesn't really kill them. There's no loss. It's not being taken. It's just being displaced or misplaced. So anyway, very interesting question, and we thank you for that. All right, again, if you missed it, the winner of our duck calling contest was contestant number one, won by a total of a pretty narrow margin, 4 votes over contestant number two, even though someone said that contestant number one's call sounded like a chicken call. I disagree with that. But, hey, it wouldn't be a bad idea if you could call chickens. Anyway, we're going to be back to do this all over again next week, and I'm going to on my way to catch up with Captain Jeremy McHugh over at Tarpon Tales in Gulfport, Mississippi. We're going to be bringing Gavin Guidry, LSU star pitcher, and Maddie McKee, LSU softball star, and we'll be taking them on a floundering trip. That's going to take place tomorrow night. We'll have a duck hunt with them on Monday morning, and then you will get to see that on a Tigers in the Wild adventure, an episode of Bayou Wild TV upcoming. Don't forget to catch us on Bayou Wild TV. YouTube is the easiest, but we have a whole list of stations and times and channels where we air. Check it out on our website. We're into season 13, headed towards 14. And on this show, the radio show, we have spanned 5 decades. Yep, count them. Starting in the 80s all the way to the 2020s. 36th year we're working on, and thank you for making it a success all these years. We appreciate you each and every week. You're invited again back next week. Thanks to Cullen Steele. Going to be off next week on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.